Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So the Discipline Disparities Research to Practice Collaborative that just released this series of papers, who's the group comprised of?
It is a group of 26 researchers, advocates, educators, policy think tanks.
And what is the value of that type of collaboration? And what did the group set out to do?
A lot of what was out there simply was saying over and over again, yes, African-American students and to some extent Latino students are disproportionately represented in out-of-school suspension, expulsion, school arrests. But there really wasn't much in terms of why that is or what to do about it. So there was a real strong concern on the part of this group to move that forward. The other value has just been the wide diversity of the members of the collaborative.
So you say that it was fairly well known that there was a discipline gap. Were there any new findings that these briefing papers uncovered?
Sure. We've known that African-American students, and particularly African-American males, are 2 to 3 times as likely as white students to be suspended or expelled. One of the real important findings is that there are really a variety of groups who are at risk. It isn't just African-American males, it's also girls of color. Just solidifying findings that students who are suspended are at greater risk of school disengagement, of not graduating on time or dropping out, and eventually of increased contact with the juvenile justice system. One of the most important findings has been the fact that schools can make a difference. In fact, there's no evidence that disparities in discipline are simply due to differences in behavior or poverty.
Who are you hoping uses this information, and at what level are these recommendations more geared towards individual educators working with kids in the classroom or schools or government entities?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, we purposely put out 3 different policy briefs, one on interventions that is specifically targeted towards teachers and administrators, a second on policy, and a third on new research.
So just very broadly speaking, why are non-white students being over-referred, and is it possible to prevent disparities in disciplinary practices?
The answer to the second question is a definite yes. We only in recent years begun to learn, you know, what are the reasons. Classroom management appears to be one area that we see creating disparities. One possibility that some folks have begun to look at is the notion of implicit bias. That's been found to be pretty universal to almost all of us, share stereotypes or biases. The intervention brief suggests, for instance, teachers taking a moment to examine all their referrals and say, you know, is this something that is potentially cultural? And this, none of this is to say that teachers or schools that refer more students of color are racist, so much as to say that there are stereotypes that go throughout our society. Another place that I think can be very helpful is in looking at data. The restructuring of the Fort Wayne Code of Conduct, there's been a lot of national attention paid to major school districts. I think Fort Wayne is certainly right up among those in terms of being in the forefront with the revision of its disciplinary code to emphasize positive behavior supports and restorative justice.
Of these briefing papers that recently came out, what do you hope specifically educators in schools that are working directly with these kids take away from it, and how do they apply what they learn?
A lot of what schools can take away from it comes out of the intervention brief, and I think there's a fairly good set of guidelines there that, first of all, schools need to apply an equity lens. Sometimes we think that it's awkward, it's uncomfortable to talk about race. We think that if we focus on that, that somehow that's a bias in itself. But it would be a little bit like trying to remediate reading deficiencies if we couldn't talk about reading. And then to focus on prevention.
Just lastly, are we seeing the trend of the gap increasing or decreasing?
It appears to be fairly stable. There are certainly indications that the gap is being closed in some places. I think there's a lot of hope that as districts begin to address this, they will see improvements. On the other hand, I think that it's been very good news in the last couple of years to see that there are things that schools can do when they reflect on their own practices. What we've been finding is districts around the country who have started creating change. It's great that they are creating change from the district level. But what you hear from those districts is it's a slow process. And I think that's probably our major challenge as we move forward, is to take these policy changes that appear to be happening across the country and really saying, how do we move those things down? How do we provide resources for our schools? How do we actually create this change at the school level?
Dr. Russell Skiba, Director of the Equity Project at Indiana University, thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Virginia.